What's up?
Hey guys, hey man, how you doing, bro?
Chilling, feeling good, feeling blessed.
Hey, that's cool, man. Hey guys, this is Raz.
And this is Edgar.
And we are the Cheese Mate Podcast, and it is brought to you by Nacho Business. Hey man, so what's been going on with you, man?
Pues I found myself, and I started working again.
You found yourself. All right. So you took some meditation and went and talked to some people.
Yeah, man. I just had to take a little break for a while. Get out of all this hustle and bustle, man. It gets straining after a while.
I understand, man.
I took 3 weeks off. So I'm all good now. Back to work and feels good to be back out there hustling.
That'll work, dude.
Yeah. Kind of missed it.
Yeah. Now, I meant to ask you. Well, I don't know if you care to share, man. Just so the people know and see if they can identify or relate to the stuff you do.
Actually, I am working for Paletería La Michoacana, not Helados. Paletería La Michoacana. So my job is a business development manager. So basically what I do is I expand the business for the company, and I also help motivate our distributors
okay.
that sell our product and meet up with them and monitor their sales and try to push them to sell more.
That'll work, dude. Now, is La Michoacana located in the 50 states?
Yeah, I believe we are in all 50. I'm still pretty new, but I believe we are in all 50 states. We do distribute to all 50 states. I think, just in the mainland, I believe we're in.
Oh, okay. No tan perros. Esos, los vatos de Michoacán tan perros.
Oh, pues sí. A huevo.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. I wanted to transition. You and I were discussing this, and, you know, we kind of started it, but we didn't get to finish. But, I over the last few years, I have slowly became a coffee guy.
Yes.
And, every morning, when I get a chance, pretty much.
Hold on. Let me cut you off right there. You put me on the spot and asked me what I did. I remember you used to be a sound engineer.
Oh,
yeah. We haven't talked about any of your sound engineer stories. I know you met a lot of celebrities, bro.
A ver,
son las historitas before we start getting in our little debates about coffee spots.
Yeah, that'll work, dude. Yeah, está bien. So, all right. So, this is it's probably the short version, but shout outs al compita Manny y a la compañía de Vega Pro Audio out here in Denver, Colorado. Pues iniciamos todo aproximadamente hace 10 años. Bro, everything was pretty much an accident. It was one of those things, man. I met Manny at school where we were doing radio production and video production, but he was already a DJ, and he was also doing sound engineering at this little nightclub or different nightclubs and bars out here in Denver. But we graduated and nothing materialized, man. There was no jobs there's only like four Spanish radio stations here in Denver. So there was no room for 30 people, you see?
Yeah.
And then to top that off, all the shows here in Denver, for the most part, I'm going to say about 75% of the programming out here in Denver is syndicated, and it all comes from LA. So, you know, you got your culprits, which are Piolín and El Erasmo. For a little bit, they had a show, El Show de Don Cheto.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with all those, but all those are syndicated, right?
Yeah, they're all syndicated out here, man. Right now they got El Bueno, La Mala, y El Feo. They got that one here too. It's out of LA as well. La Bronca, I know she's from the Bay.
Yeah, she's from the Bay, I remember her.
Yeah, so they're out here too, syndicated. So pretty much everything's syndicated, man. So there's no room for new pups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we kind of moved on. You know, just working 9 to 5. My homeboy Manny, he was doing his hustle. He's a trucker, but you know, in his alter ego, he was a sound engineer. So it was one of those times, man. He called me and me said, "No, primo, véngase, necesito alguien que me cubra porque tengo que trabajar temprano, you know, X, Y, and Z." So I told him, "Yeah, show me the basics, man. You know, I'm good." And you know, I covered him, and you know, from that point on, we built this really cool bond, because you know, we embarked in this whole journey, man. It was it was very humble moments, man. You know, we would buy our sound. Well, you know, he was the main investor, but we would get a lot of the sound equipment off of Guitar Center. I don't know if they had Guitar Centers out in the Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Northern California.
Oh, yeah. They have them all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So, dude, I'd be acting like Colorado's a whole different country, dude. And it's just like, it's an hour flight, you know? But, de ahí empezamos, you know, we're just buying the a lot of times the generic brands, and we would put black tape over the generic brands, and then we would just buy some really good amplifiers, and we were really good at the craft, man, sound engineering itself. So a lot of people couldn't tell we were just buying generic shit out of Guitar Center. But
so right off the rip, like when you guys first started, you guys already doing big shows, or you guys started like small with like little local groups?
We started with local groups, man. Well, you know what? I wouldn't even say local groups. I don't know, dude. Because, well, yeah, local groups.
Regional?
Yeah. Porque todavía empezamos cuando todavía estaba fuerte lo duranguense.
Oh, yeah. Duranguense was popping, man. I remember that era.
So we worked with a lot of those bands. But you know what? A lot of those bands, they made the transition. Now they play norteño.
Yeah.
So they kind of left the genre and just went to a whole different one. So we worked with a lot of them. So I was going to say, so at that point, it started growing, man. And it was really fun. That journey was fun, man. But everything took the turning point was one day him and I were talking, and he was just like, because you know, his first language is Spanish, so he just kind of sticks to that. So we looked for a mixer. We needed a mixer, like, to go major, because we were getting all kinds of offers and deals, and we're like, all right, well, let's do this. We officially bought our first mixer off of a church out in Boulder, Colorado. I don't know if you're familiar with Boulder. It's about 45 minutes to an hour away from
South Park.
Yeah. You could say that. I mean, it's a college town. It's kind of like our version of UC Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's about 45 minutes away with good traffic. So we went and got it. A Mackie, bro. And to us, that was like the shit. You know what I mean?
You guys were like, oh, man, we did it now. Yeah. And then,
yeah. And then the thing, too, was that Manny got to connect. I don't want to say a lot of his business, but he got a really good connect for very good sound equipment at a very affordable price, you know. And his connect was out in El Paso. A really famous band. I'll just go ahead and say it. Los Rieleros del Norte.
Okay.
That was our hookup. Well, his hookup mainly. So then he goes out to El Paso. Shout outs to El Paso, first of all. So he goes out there and he gets the equipment, hauls it back to Denver. And that's when we're like, all right, let's do this for reals now. So then we just started working with like big bands and stuff, and bigger private events, ya sea quinceañeras, bodas, etc., dude. So it just started growing like that, man. And you know, eventually Manny, he landed in a, it was a famous nightclub, but it closed. I can't even remember the name of it, but that was his big major deal where he was just stationary and just like solid, you know, there every weekend, making decent money.
He became their in-house engineer.
Pretty much. He was leasing the sound and also the in-house engineer. And then I would be his sidekick, you know, because, you know, whenever you run a gig, gigs like this with concerts or, you know, dances, whatever, it's just, it's not just the DJ. You have a whole technical group. Yeah. And, you know, bare minimum, you need at least three people, you know. So you don't go crazy, you need three people. So it was usually a three-man show, you know, because you need somebody to run the sound, you know, in front of the house and on stage. And then you need somebody to operate the lights. And if you have a screen, you need another person to run that screen with the computer. Oh. So it becomes a whole ordeal, man. But eventually, we landed. Well, we, because I was part of the team. We landed at a very famous famous nightclub here in Denver. It's called the Stampede. So it's a couple of minutes away, just to give you an idea. Well, I'm pretty sure you heard of it. You know, when that crazy guy went out there and to the movie premiere for Batman and he shot up everybody in the theater. Yeah, it's on that side of town. So it's like southeast area of Denver.
The guy that was the poor guy that was just sick and depressed.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, him. So anyway, so the Stampede is out there and it's like a Western themed nightclub or event center because they could pack approximately 3,000 to 4,000 people in there.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, it's pretty big, man. So then they started doing all the big concerts and dances out there from all genres, bro. Like banda, norteñas, reggaeton, what's the other one? Bachata, hip hop, you name it, man. Country, because it is a country club, country western club. So they were just doing an array of things, and we were all part of it. And also shout outs to my homeboy Fluffy. He also listens to the podcast. Yeah, he was part of it too, man. So it was a really cool journey. But so all right. So it was one of the events, man. This promoter, I don't know what it is, man. I got caught up in the hype too. You know, right now. Pues la música de Sinaloa está de moda.
Yeah.
Entonces todos llegan hablando like if they were Sinaloenses, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, ¿qué pasó, viejón?
Yeah, yeah.
And andamos al cien. You know, all that kind of lingo, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's the promoter. He books this band. And their name, bueno, el grupo se llama Los Perdidos de Sinaloa. So, Los Perdidos de Sinaloa, they're an offshoot of, I think they're called Alta Consigna.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah. Heard of them.
All right. So the founder of Perdidos, he was part of Alta Consigna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So all those cats, they're out of TJ, dude, Tijuana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so they get booked. And, bro, my 9-to-5 job or whatever, you know, my regular blue collar job, like I'm always tuning in on the radio just to, you know, keep my ear to the street, see what's happening. And, you know, just to be ready if something pops up, you know, that we had to go work at a different club or for a different artist or something like that. So I didn't hear anything about these cats, man. I didn't even know they were booked. So then my homeboy Manny, ya me habla, me dice, hey, Erasmo, tenemos baile hoy. And I'm like, pues, ¿quién viene? Dice, no, por Los Perdidos de Sinaloa. I was like, I never heard of these cats, bro, but hey, whatever. I was like, I didn't even hear them on the radio. And then I show up to the Stampede, and then we're there, man. We're setting up. And I was like, dude, I never heard of them. And then somebody tells me, hey, bro, Perdidos de Sinaloa, they popping, dude. I'm like, where? And then they're like, in Ciudad Juarez. But you got to keep in mind, Denver and Ciudad Juarez, they have a big connection, man. A lot of people from Juarez live out here.
Okay.
And so that's that also serves as a trampoline of the different music that's popping in that region. It automatically transcends over to Denver, you know? And we also have a big presence of LA, so that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
But so I guess as part of their tour, Denver, Colorado was their first stop. So I'm like, all right, man, whatever, man. I didn't hear him on the radio, and we'll see. Y pues ya eran como las nueve, vato, las nueve, diez y media, and it was still local acts opening, because Perdidos, they were the main headliner, and the rest was just like little local bands.
Yeah.
So, bro, by 10:45, like out of nowhere, bro, it got packed. It was lit, you know. They closed the doors down, bro. And this is on a Friday night. Cerraron las puertas, vato. Y pues se suben los Perdidos. And I was like, dude, I like this shit. And
I feel the energy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Bro, I didn't like Cierreño, dude. And once I saw those dudes, I was like, all right, yeah, cool. I could dig it. And then, so I don't know if you've ever been to nightclubs or parties or whatever. You know when it's the last call, they tone the music down.
Y prenden la luz.
Prenden la luz.
Yeah.
But they usually put Chente.
Yeah.
Or who else do they put? Chente, maybe Jose Alfredo. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
But 9 out of 10, they put Chente. Well, me and Manny, we're a little different. we like to throw it off, you know? Like, for a minute, I used to like put in... like pop bands, like I don't know. You ever heard of a Moderato? You ever heard of that band?
I've heard of them. Band?
Yeah, they got some really good music, man. Well, this time I was like, dude, you know, I had heard, you know, I had to catch up with my pop music, and I heard Rake.
Hey,
what's up, dude?
Rake. That's my group right there, bro. I went through a stage where I would like listen to like all their CDs, dude. Like I set up my playlist on Spotify. I could sing along to every single song they've ever written. No joke.
Was it? Hey, dude, that man, was it? That man, Camila.
Yeah, Camila. I have a story about them, but go ahead.
All right, dude. All right, dude. So anyway, so I put Rake. And I put that one song, it's called Creo en Ti. So it's like an acoustic guitar song, right?
Yeah.
So I put it on. And mind you, they're wrapping up. They're getting people out. But it's packed. And it's mostly women. All right? So I put on the song. And then the lights are on. And then all the girls, they start singing. Or the women, rather. All the women start singing the song, Creo en Ti, right? En coro, vato. So then the promoter, he's looking. Like, you know promoters, dude. They thirsty, dude. They see any opportunity, they try to jump in. And then he comes up to me, and then he's like, ¿Quiénes son esos vatos, viejón? Nunca los había escuchado. And then I'm like, no, vato, es un grupo de pop, se llama Rake. Se órale, no, pues, estará bueno traerlos. I'm like, nah, dude, I don't think you can bring them. I don't think you can bring them. They charge a lot of money to come out here, dude. but yeah, that was my story, dude. Yeah, he got all excited hearing some guitars and women singing. He's like, yeah, I could book these fools out here too. But yeah, man, nah.
Hey, how much you think they charge a show?
I don't know, dude. Maybe.
You think that you think in the six figures?
Yeah, maybe 100 racks. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's money. Hey, yeah. But they got like a massive entourage that travels with them, though, huh?
Probably, and I think they probably hire sound out of town, like out of town companies on tour, because you know they're actually backed by the record company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got money put behind them.
Yeah, they got budgets. You know. Yeah. Like a lot of these musicians, they have a deal with no budget, you know. So half of the time they're out there trying to lease sound from local local guys and stuff. And just keep in mind, folks, I'll say in Spanish, muchas veces cuando un grupo va a su ciudad o sea presentarse y el grupo no es muy famoso y se oye mal el sonido, muchas veces es porque no traen su equipo técnico y pues escucha mal. Entonces no se quejen. Like, support your artists, man. Buy their product, you know?
Yeah.
Make them famous. But yeah, man. So that was my story, dude. But yeah, I got a lot of stories.
When you did that, you know how you, most of your gigs were like grupos norteños or like, you know, bandas or whatever. Hey, did you ever have to do like a setup for like a narco or something? Like that ever happened to you?
Yeah,
this is sensitive.
It's a sensitive subject, dude. Because we've been in predicaments like that, and we didn't even know it.
That you never know until you're there. You're
you don't know, dude. Into. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff, and I don't want to talk about it, bro. But it's very it's very compromising.
Yeah, no, because I was just watching an interview that Espinoza Paz, and they asked him the same question: have you ever played for a narco? And he was like, yeah, I have. And then like they tried to get on him about it, he was like, nah, but hold on. He was like, when you play for them, no si quieres, is that you have to. He was like, they'll show up, y te agarran, and they say, hey, you have to play, and you have to play. Like, if you either play for me, you die, or you can never come back to the city again. So you no tienes de otra, you have to.
Yeah.
No es que si quieres, es que tienes.
Dude, I don't know, man. We like, half of the time, you don't know. You get the phone call, you book it, and you show up. You know, show up, and, you know, you set a price, man. You know, you're like, hey, this is a price, yada, 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 and these are the receipts. Because it's not like, you know, a lot of times, matter of fact, dude, let me go back a step. A lot of times we're not booked directly by the, how do I say, we're not booked by the party organizer. We're booked by the band. At this time, you know, they're the ones dealing with that. They just pay us our money. But then once we're there, we're like, oh, shoot, this is what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So nah, like, that's why I was like, okay, I'm trying to answer this the right way. But a lot of times, like I said, we get booked by the musician, not the host, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's up, man. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so yeah, man, so going back to the coffee deal. I started drinking coffee just a couple years back, and I want to call myself a connoisseur of you know, the different coffees that are out there so far. Well, I don't know all of them. But you know, I kind of rated my maybe top 3 or 4. And I was just going to tell you my list, bro. But then after that, after we discuss it, I'm just going to tell you who was voted number one in the country.
Okay.
So for me, I'm factoring in the convenience, the price, and the taste.
Okay.
All right. So my top coffee shop, and I don't even want to call it shop, but my top coffee joint,
7-Eleven. Oh.
Yeah, 7-Eleven. No. Yeah, bro. Any blue collar person will tell you 7-Eleven.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I no. All right. What all else right. you got?
All right, number 2.
A ver.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts is all right sometimes.
Yeah.
I've had good coffee there, but then I've had some really bad coffee before.
Oh, okay. And number 3, Starbucks.
Okay, I like Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks. And then I don't think I have a number 4. Well, number 4, McDonald's, dude.
No.
Nah, all right. So, yeah, those are just my 4, man. There's some other coffees here, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I just thought it was nasty, dude. So I'm not even going to mention them. So and they're big local chains here in Denver. So I'm not going to mention them. So what are yours, man?
All right. So, well, a lot of the coffee shops, I'm not sure if they have them out there, but for sure, at the top of my list, mm-hmm. for convenience, it's Starbucks, just because there's a Starbucks literally 1 mile from my house, and I have to drive past it every single day.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's really convenient. They have that app now. So I usually just, like, when I'm warming up the car, I'll order my coffee, I'll drive there, and I yeah. just pull up, and my coffee's ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
I don't have to pay or anything. I just walk up and be like, hey, I got a mobile order for Edgar, and boom. But another really good coffee shop is Phil's Coffee.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard it. It's Phil's, like, P-H-I-L-Z.
You know what, man? I don't think I've seen it. I'm just going to have to look it up.
That coffee, I actually like it a lot more than Starbucks, but those locations are a little hard to find. Since I work all over the Central Valley in, like, Northern California,
yeah, yeah,
I'll find. They have a few in the Bay. They're starting to pop up a little bit more, and they have a bunch of them in Sacramento.
Okay.
So usually when I'm in Sacramento, I always stop and get Phil's. Another one that's a big one that I go to is, ¿cómo se llama este otro? Which one I mentioned to you yesterday?
I can't remember, dude.
¿Cómo se llama? Well, there's a spot called, you know what? I can't even think of it right now. I totally blanked out on the name.
Oh, okay. No está tan bueno, pues, vato.
No, it's because I don't go to it a lot. I only go to it when I go to the Bay Area. It's in San Jose, okay, where I always go to it.
Okay,
got it. ¿Cómo se llama?
Yeah.
Pero,
is that Silicon Valley coffee?
Yeah. Right. But you know what? Actually, Sacramento has a lot more coffee shops than, like, you know, they're more... Escuela en Sacramento, they're having, like, a thing where, like, hipsters are popping out there, man.
Kind of like Denver?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of hipsters. There's, like, a lot of hipster coffee shops. There's, like, Temple Coffee Roasters. What's another one that I've been to? Chocolate Fish is another one I've been to.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But que conozcan, like, big brands, Phil's is pretty big.
Okay.
And, y también, pues, Starbucks, of course. Pero, you know, usually those coffees, casi nunca los agarro, like, from gas stations, just because, man, they're not consistent with the flavor. A veces okay. you get a good batch, y a veces no.
So yeah, I'd
rather pay an extra 95 cents and go to Starbucks, dude.
Yeah. Well, the thing with me, man, you got to keep in mind, I get up at 3:30 in the morning to go to work. The only thing open is 7-Eleven.
¿A poco you guys don't have 24-hour Starbucks over there?
Not yet, dude.
Oh, we got a few of them. Actually, yeah. There's one in Modesto.
Oh, okay. But... Unless it's not on my side of town, and on my side of town there's very little. You know, there is a Starbucks, but it opens up at 5.
Yeah. So yeah, usually they all open around 5. But yeah, there's I think like every big town has to have at least one, because I know I always stop at the one in Hayward when I worked in the Bay. Y luego we have one in Modesto también que siempre pasaba when I used to work super early.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, yeah, I if I recall correctly, like in downtown Denver, se me hace que sí hay, but like I'm north of downtown Denver, so.
Oh, okay.
And then my job, I have to drive more north, you know.
Oh, okay.
So 7-Eleven does it for me, man. And then, like I said, then Dunkin's, but yeah, but anyway.
Hey, do you ever do those fancy when you go to Starbucks? Do you always go for those fancy ones, or you just do a straight coffee, like a straight, just regular black coffee? Okay, what's your go-to?
You know what? My wife, she got me hip to this thing she does, and it's an iced coffee with almond milk, no sugar.
Okay, that's what my wife gets.
Yeah, I know. Para el avión, vato. It's que a lot of times when I go to Starbucks, I know that stuff's strong, and I know it's gonna wake me up.
No, try the cold brews. The cold brews have a little bit more caffeine than the iced coffees.
Oh, okay.
Porque the cold brews are straight coffee. Los iced coffees son watered down.
Got it. Okay. Okay. See, I'm no coffee expert, man. Like I said, I just started getting into this ever since I started. You know, I started to have to get up earlier than what I was used to, you know, when I had a 9-to-5, and I was like, shoot, got to get up really early, man. So now, like, I get hella irritable, man, when I don't have coffee.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the same way. I have to have the coffee. It takes that little edge off in the morning. Just like,
yeah.
it doesn't like wake me up like, oh yeah, dude, I'm ready for this. It just, but when, even when I'm a little like, because I'm not a morning person, it just kind of takes the edge off a little bit. So
yeah, so coffee. That's the whole deal, man. But yeah, well, just to sum the whole conversation, man, the article said that the best coffee in America, just like, you know, your branded coffee, not your, what is it called? Not your local brewery or whatever, man, or coffee roaster. But the best coffee in America is from Krispy Kreme Donuts.
No.
Yeah, dude. Best coffee.
Krispy Kreme is the best coffee in America.
Yeah, that's what they said.
They've never had a cup of Dutch. Oh, Dutch Brothers is another good one. Those are really hard to find. The closest one to me is like a little town around Sacramento. I forgot what town it was. I think it was like Citrus Heights or something. Yeah. But they're popping like up in Washington and Oregon. Uh-huh. When we went up to Washington on the whole way there, like we were seeing them everywhere. The Dutch Brothers, that, and they have a huge cult following.
Okay.
I remember, yeah, I would see stickers on like cars in Sacramento and stuff. And they would have like Coffee Mafia, and then it'll be like a picture of Al Capone, like a stencil. And
I'm like, okay,
why does everybody have those? And yeah, they get them from that Dutch Brothers coffee,
kind of like the Obey brand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what they said, man. I mean, I don't know. I like their donuts, but you know,
yeah, the donuts are legit. And I actually like Dunkin' Donuts better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. You know what, man? Do you know what the secret is behind Krispy Kreme donuts?
That they make them in front of you so you think they're fresh?
Nah, dude. It's and part of the recipe, they use potato starch.
Órale. Oh, well, potato bread is good, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I learned this from this kid, man, that, you know, him and I used to work together. And he did a project. He used to go to University of Denver for business. And then, you know, he was just analyzing the Krispy Kreme model and why it was so successful. And the recipe, they incorporated potato starch to their donuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that makes them a little different. And I think, they're soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, everybody likes those glazy. They go crazy for those donuts. I'm not a huge fan of Krispy Kreme.
Well, you know what? It was a hit here, man. But then, I don't know, they just kind of went away. Like, the big thing out here in Denver is this place called Voodoo Donuts.
Oh, yeah, I went to the one in Portland.
Oh, okay, yeah,
man,
yeah.
Man, those are some expensive-ass donuts. I have never walked out of a donut shop with one box and spent $40.
So yeah, we got that out here, dude. I haven't been there yet, so I'm planning on going. So.
Yeah, they opened one in LA in Hollywood at the Universal Studios. They have that little downtown thing. What is it called?
The Walk of Fame or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
City Walk. It's called City Walk. So they opened one at City Walk. It was packed, and I was like, I've been there, done that. I'm not going to stand in line and spend $40 on two donuts.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, nah, it ain't that worth, you know, it ain't worth it to me, bro. But, hey, man, but I know there was something you wanted to touch base on, and, you know, you wanted my opinion.
On the Kavanaugh hearing?
On the hearings and stuff?
Yeah, so what do you think? What's your take on this whole situation, on the new Supreme Court justice?
Oh, the nominee, Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
Ah, dude.
And then the allegation that popped up right now.
I don't know, man. That's a tough one because they say it happened over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why is it popping up now? You know, a lot of this stuff, I do question it, man.
And
I'm not being a jerk, dude. But
okay, but check this out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why is Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, and the Republicans, why don't they want the FBI to investigate? Si no temen, why are they hiding?
Well, they're trying to save tax money, dog.
Nah. Oh, now they want to save tax money, but Donald Trump wants to go golfing and has to spend $200,000 on security detail? What then?
Oh, dude. Was that realidad? I don't know, man. It's
No, because she doesn't right now, she doesn't want to testify just because they're gonna victim shame her. She wants an investigation before you start pointing the finger and saying why now?
Yeah.
Investigate it and get the facts out.
Yeah, and you know what, man?
And you could find it. She passed the lie detector test.
You know, what I was going to say.
Her psychologist has notes on it, too, that she has told her psychologist about it.
You know, I'm always open for correction, man, because this is very, how do I say it? It's a difficult subject to get into, you know? It's hard to talk about.
Just because it's hard to talk about, we're not just gonna want to swear this guy in and have him be the highest law in the land just because it's an uncomfortable situation. It has to come out. We have to talk about it.
We
have to get to the bottom of it. He's gonna be on the highest court of the land. Like, there's no higher court. Is that a person? Is that a person with the moral grounds that he would rape a person and be okay with it? Is that a person you want passing these laws or taking on all these cases?
No.
Exactly. So we have to get to the bottom of it.
You know what, man? I said this, man, and I think I mentioned it to you, but the other day, man, I was driving, and then I was tuning in to all the podcasts that I follow, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to catch up. Cause I'm a fan, you know, I'm a fan of a lot of podcasters. But every single podcaster was talking about the same thing. And I just had to turn it off, dude. I was like, you know what? I'm a little overwhelmed. So then I just like went to my phone and then I put Los Hijos de García. Están perros esos vatos. Hey, esos vatos traen veneno de cobra, vato.
What's up with these? What's the other group that's there? Los Hijos de Barón.
De Barón.
Yeah.
Estos los hijos de García andan con veneno de cobra, vato.
Oh, yeah?
Simón. I was like, dude. Me aceleré un ratillo, vato. But then I was like, dude, I can't do none of that stuff. I roll legit. But hey, I think
así te pones como me pongo yo when I listen to 6ix9ine.
Oh, el Tekashi.
Yeah, makes me want to go rob a convenience store, and I'm like, nah, that ain't me. I gotta turn this off.
Hey, dude, but anyway, look, man, I had to think about this, man, and I mentioned this to you, you know, unfortunately, like I could tell you this from my parents. You know, mis papás vienen de rancho y, pues, you know, son gente muy humilde y a veces de pocas palabras, you know? Entonces, muchas veces no te inculcan. Bueno, al menos a nosotros, a mí, a mis hermanas y hermano, no nos inculcaron muchas cosas que, ¿cómo te diré? Que te trae el respeto y, you know, like, how do I explain it? Like the birds and the bees talks and all those different things, like respect yourself, respect others. It was, you know, my parents was just work, 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 work. That was it. That's all they knew to do. And
well, that's all our generation because everybody in our generation now, that was just porque pues most of us were all first generation Americans, and that's just a talk their parents never had with them. That's something.
Yeah, you know, like, well, I'm pretty sure your parent, like, just like my parents, they just had like a sixth grade education, the most. Yeah. You know,
the only talk I ever got like that was from my dad when he caught me with the girl. I was like 17 or something.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Más vale que te estés poniendo un cachucho pendejo porque no vas a soportar otro niño."
Nah, dude. Well, you know, my dad, he's a very quiet man. And the only thing my dad told me, he said, "Hey, mire, usted tiene hermanas y pues usted quiere que respeten a sus hermanas y and pues respete a las mujeres, this, that, the other, you know?" But, you know, okay, so I'm going to go off the tangent a little bit. And this really made me change my mind about a lot of stuff, man. And it took a while to process and to put it in play, you know? So I was working. It was my first job out of high school. And I was the old, I was the youngest cat from the whole crew. And I was working. Yeah. So I was working at a Walmart. All right. Walmart Supercenter.
Oh, I remember that. I remember where.
All right. So so we're chilling. And, you know, I would just partake with whatever the older guys were saying. You know, any foolishness they would talk about, I would laugh and jump in or whatever, right? But then one day I'm in the back, you know, getting stuff ready to pull out to display. And then they're like, yeah, man, there's this fine A woman. Ooh, you know, this, that, the other. They were just saying a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, Raz, you got to come out here, man. I'm like, all right, dude. I'm on my way out. So I walk in, bro. It was my sister, dude.
Oh!
It was my sister, dude. And then I looked, and that was a shock. Like, it shocked me, you know? And I turned around. I was like, hey, fool, that's my sister. My bad, bro. But, you know, that was my wake-up call. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I had to sit back and I'm like, all right, man, like, I got to reevaluate my life, you know, like, I got to change. But so that was a defining moment for me, you know, where I had to take a different approach. And it wasn't easy because it's not easy to break back bad habits, you know.
Yeah.
You know, being rude, disrespectful to people. Nah, you know, I had to change a lot of that stuff, man. Even to this day, man, I'm still on a learning curve, you know. Pero bueno, esto es a lo que voy. I was listening to all those podcasts, and then I put Los Hijos de García, and I turned up a little bit driving my truck. But then after that, I just had a chance to think everything, you know. And every single podcast, every single show, I feel that they're trying to, how do I say it? This is going to be controversial, but nobody has said it. Everybody's circumventing this one of the solutions to the stuff that's going on. I think a lot of the harassments and you know, abuses and stuff like that, you know, you got to start it from the top. Which is, you know, the parents, you know, they have to inculcate the children and let them know, hey, man, you know, women and both men and women have to be held at the same standard. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought of, and I had to tell my wife, and she's like, yeah, you're right, but I don't think a lot of people are going to get it. But ahí te va. Three things, bro. Abstinence, courtship, and marriage will solve a lot of those issues, man. Not all of them, but a lot.
Oh, man, see, but how would you even begin with that?
It has to start at home, bro. That's what we were talking about, and it's like, and this, unfortunately, with all the stuff that's on the media, you know. TV, social media, internet. You're bombarded with all this stuff, man. You know? You're bombarded with what is it? I don't know. I don't know how to say that word. Promiscuity? Is that how you're saying? Yeah, that. And, you're bombarded with it 24/7, you know? And it's hard for us as parents to be there with our kids, babysitting them. Like 24/7 too, you know? So it's a fight we have at home, and our biggest enemy is the TV. And we willingly go and buy those big ass TVs on Black Friday, you know? So it's like, dude, we're enemies of ourselves, man. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff, man, but that's one of the solutions I came up with.
Yeah, but that's one of those. That's tough too.
Yeah,
that's tough, man. Because how do I say it without sounding like a
like a sexual deviant.
Te van a decir el sucio moving forward.
Nah, but you know, you're probably right, pero that's just a little bit too conservative for the world we live in now. You mm-hmm. know, the whole your body's your temple.
But it is, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
But then the more you tell people to be, como te dice, center yourself, the more it makes people want to go the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's true too, man. It's a really tough battle.
Because there's always, you know, a massive group of people that always want to go against the system or against the norms and saying, like, the old way or whatever that way. It's just like, no, like, let me be me. Let me date who I want. Let me sleep around if I want. It's my body. I can do whatever I want. Pero, yeah.
Well, you know, but just to sum this, the situation with Judge Kavanaugh, I think the right thing to do, since it was already put out there, I think that the investigation should go through the motions, man. I mean, if they don't find anything, they don't find anything, you know? And if they do, they do. That's it, man. I mean,
And you know this lady that's accusing him, it kind of hits close to home just because she's a professor at the university my wife graduated from. So,
oh, okay.
My wife never personally met her.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a really small university too. It's a small private psychology university.
Oh, okay.
In Palo Alto.
Okay, not Stanford, is it?
No, they're affiliated with Stanford.
Okay,
it's part of the Stanford master's program.
So, does her degree say Stanford?
My wife's no, because she didn't do the master's program.
Oh,
she got her bachelor's there.
Got it. Okay, okay.
Yeah, but the master's program, I believe, does say Stanford on it.
Okay, man, the Duartes are moving up, man. Y'all moving up, man. So yeah, but anyway, yeah, that's the thing, man. They just stop circumventing the situation. It was already put out there, man. Just investigate. That's it.
There's that thing, the notes that her psychologist has, they're not recent notes. They're not even notes from, like, they're notes from 2012.
Yeah.
You know what, way, man? Before he was even, there was even a chance he was gonna, you know, be up for Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's making it up. They did the polygraph test. She passed the polygraph test.
Got it. Okay. Now, and I understand, man. Like, I was gonna say that stuff like that is, no one can get over that kind of stuff, man. That's trauma, dude.
Exactly, dude.
You'll never get over it.
Yeah, and then what really irritates me mm-hmm. is the fact that we have people in power, like the Republicans, that are saying, like, oh, no, like, she doesn't want to come. Well, whatever, let's just vote him in. Like, are you serious? You're willing to put somebody through. Like, you're willing to have that person be in our highest court of our land.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's not going to be for, like, 1 year, 2 years. He's going to be there for a long time.
Yeah, you know, a college professor that's, you know, that I esteem a lot when I was in college, the way he defined it is, the Supreme Court of the United States of America is God.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, when it comes to the law here in the States,
they can reverse anything they want.
Yeah.
They could pass anything they want. They could pardon Trump. Even Trump, like, he's always saying, like, oh, we should be investigating Hillary. Like, for the Benghazi thing. So how many Americans died in Benghazi? 3 Americans?
I believe so, yeah.
4 Americans?
I don't have all the facts straight on the Benghazi situation.
But they want to spend all that money to investigate her.
Uh-huh.
But now they're saying that we shouldn't waste money to investigate Kavanaugh, which is, I don't know, it's bull. Trump said that, I don't think the FBI should get involved. Why shouldn't they get involved? Are you scared of something?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they should just stick to whatever is within the confinements of the law.
How many people died in Puerto Rico?
Several thousand, they said.
Why hasn't anybody investigated Donald Trump? They're Americans, too.
their color. I don't know.
Man, they're Americans, bro. They got to.
Yeah, they are Americans. Yeah, the birth certificate says Americans.
Yeah, they're Americans.
But when you have them stand next to us, if you have some Puerto Ricans with us, they're not going to call them Puerto Ricans. They're going to call them Mexicans. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing.
Well, it depends. It depends what side of the coast you're on. If you're on the West Coast, they're Mexicans. If you're on the East Coast, they're Spanish.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the situation that it just gets deeper, bro. It gets really deep and controversial.
Yeah, it's not controversial. We have crook as our president.
Yeah, I agree.
Have a crook. We have a con man. Somebody that doesn't deserve.
Well, you know
that title.
It's I don't know, bro. I want to take myself out of the equation on this one, because one thing I tell my kids, man, is you know, my kids were saying some stuff that their classmates were saying, and they were insulting the president. They were saying just a bunch of stuff, right? And they were calling them names. And I'm like, look, man, one thing I understand, all right? One thing I understand is that you do not insult a person in power like that. I don't care how much you don't like the person. When they're in power, they're in power. You can't talk like that about them, you know? You can agree, or you can disagree respectfully, but you're not going to insult a man in power. That's what I told my kids. So we just kind of keep it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I just keep it like that, because if we were any other country without these, you know, freedoms that we have, if you, you know, you go around saying this, that, the other about the president, You know what happens in North Korea, bro.
Hey, so. But those are freedoms he's trying to remove. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Hashtag resist.
Este vato. But, dude, yeah, that's a fine line, man. And out of respect, bro. You know, I respect the people in power. I do disagree with a lot of things that they're doing. But I don't feel I should go out of pocket and insult them, you know? I like to do what former First Lady Michelle Obama says: they go low, we go high, you know. And
como dice Charlemagne the God,
you just go low, huh?
we get low down to the flow with them.
This dude, but anyway, just going back to this whole Kavanaugh deal. It's important for them to check everything out. And just because, like that professor told me, when it comes to the American law, Constitution, etc., those people are considered gods, you know, life appointees. So yeah, they should definitely check it out, bro. if in fact everything, you know, this woman is saying it's true. I just hope she finds, peace in her heart, some form of vindication. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some peace out of that, because it is traumatic. It doesn't,
just imagine what she's going through. She's kept it quiet all this time.
Yeah.
But now she's put in a position where, like, am I really going to let the guy that raped me, that took my peace of mind, that took my feeling of feeling safe, took all that away from me? Should I just keep my mouth quiet and let him get to that position?
The dignity and what's the other word? There's another word for that. You know, took away innocence, bro.
Yeah,
and her innocence. Yeah, man, they should check it out, man. Look, man.
He didn't rape her. He attempted to rape her.
He
Look, covered man. Her mouth and tried to penetrate.
Oh, that's assault, bro. Yeah. Yeah, but Hey, man, I'm going to say this. No le dieron quebrada a Bill Cosby. Why should this guy be any different?
Because he's white.
Bro, you pushing this show, dog. You pushing this show.
Sorry, I don't have a filter sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because of politics.
Hey.
It's the California liberal in me.
I see that, man. Shoot. You have a granola bar, también, and some organic water from Jaden Smith.
What? All right, now let's talk about important news.
All right, man. Yeah, because we're kind of wrapping this up, man. Yeah, ya vamos para una hora.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. Did you hear about the fight?
Yeah, man, I saw the knot on her head too.
Is that not real, man? I thought it was Photoshop when I saw it.
No. Sí le dieron un madrazo. But look, man, I think. All right, man. The thing that Cardi B has going for her, she has two crowds, bro. At this point, Cardi B is international. Just because she speaks Spanish, dude. She already international. She already did collabos with reggaeton artists.
Dude, that reggaeton song she got with, what is that guy's name? Ozuna? Oh, that's just popping.
You know what? I like that one. I don't follow the genre like I want to, but I heard some stuff, you know, where she's doing reggaeton, and I don't know if it's Ozuna, but yeah, I heard some stuff. But yeah, she's an international artist already, man. So as far as I'm concerned, man,
didn't Nicki Minaj do reggaeton too? I thought she did reggaeton too, like a while back.
I don't remember, man. The only thing I remember about her was I know she came out in the Lopez Tonight Show and she said she had another alter ego. Her name was Rosa or something like that. And then she had all these different personalities and stuff. You know, even to the point, I remember that they used to say that she was, what was it, bisexual or that she was a lesbian. And then she had all this stuff going on. Couldn't find out, you know, Safari was there the whole time. Then Meek Mill. And I, you know what? If you ask me, man, I just think she disappointed a lot of her followers, dude. And I think that's why she kind of fell off a little bit. What do you think?
Well, Cardi B, she's really likable person. She's funny. She's really entertaining.
Yeah.
And she feels relatable.
Yeah, that's true.
She looks like a normal person, like you would know.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj, she's always kind of had a built an aura around her that she's untouchable, that she's like a god, like, oh my god, you guys are peasants type of thing.
Okay.
So that's what kind of makes her like la sangre pesada, sangrona.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
And Cardi B thing, La Sangre Bien Liviana, she's like really likable. Dude, it's hard to hate on Cardi. It's really hard to hate on Cardi.
Yeah, that's true, man. And you know what, man? I've heard, you know, my wife showed me a few interviews. You know, because that song, what was that first song she came out with? It was like her breakthrough.
Bodak Yellow.
Yeah, dude. Or
Bodak Red. Or
Bodak Yellow. Something like that. And then I was like, yeah. And then we were at a festival and they were bumping it and you saw a bunch of dudes rapping the song, yo.
Hey, I don't want to sound sexist, but I don't really like female. I never bump like female rap because I always thought like, oh, this is for girls, dude. Like, it's kind of like, you know,
yeah,
if a guy bumps it. But Cardi B, she a todo volumen. I don't care what they say.
Hey, but I heard that her actual songwriter is a dude.
Yeah. What's his name?
Partisan Fontaine.
Andale.
Yeah. So that's why you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You get behind the track, dude.
Yeah.
But I like Cardi B, man. And you know what? I've seen a couple of her interviews and where she kind of like, I know she had a past life. She did whatever she did, you know. I believe she was a stripper. Did some other stuff, you know. But, not sure what it was, but I like that she, her whole thing is, one of the times I saw a video, she was like, you know, I've been told to change my act just because I have a lot of kids following me, and that's what I'm going to do. And I respect that, man. And also, in one of her interviews, she was just saying how if she had an opportunity to do something else that was not stripping or what have you, she would have done that other thing. So I find that, I respect that, man. I like that, you know, that, and she tries to throw it out there that there's other things for people other than jumping into something that you may regret down the road. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that from her, you know, and she is funny, dude. She is funny, man. I've never seen a funny video with Nikki. So
nah.
Yeah,
I kind of her acting. No, I seen one funny video of when she was acting in college. That was pretty funny.
I've never seen it.
You
dude.
Ever seen that? No. You never seen it? There's one. She's like in drama.
Okay.
They're like doing a play or something.
Okay.
Oh no, but yeah, Nicki Minaj does have a reggaeton song with Farruko and Bad Bunny called "Creepy Kush." I do actually like that song.
Oh,
and
Travis
Scott is in it too. I do actually like that song. I did hear that song when it first came out. I was like, it's actually pretty sick.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to listen to it, dude. So yeah, man. I think Cardi B, she pretty much has sealed her fate for the next few years, dude. She's number one now.
Yeah, she's on top right now. That last podcast, the Brilliant Idiots, they were talking about her new music. That's pretty dope too. So
okay, yeah,
she has more hits coming.
Yeah, well, I can't wait, dude.
Yeah.
So anything else you wanted to touch base on, bro?
Let's wrap this up, dude.
All right, man. Hey,
this is not bore everyone.
Yeah. So, hey, man, I just wanted to send some shout outs to all the people that supported us on our previous or our first podcast. Also, all 20 of y'all, I appreciate it.
Yes, shout out to all you guys.
What else, man? Oh, next week, man, there's some stuff going on about beers. Well, this weekend here in Denver, we're having the Great American Beer Festival, and just wanted to see what was your take on different beers, man, and wanted to discuss that next week and see how much you know.
And sounds good. That's my favorite topic.
And how much I could learn, bro. Y ahí te dejo de tarea, vato. Esos compas, los hijos de García.
Yeah, I'll check them out, definitely.
Puro veneno de cobra, vato. Y así se va a llamar este podcast. Go ahead.
Don't forget to go to the movies this weekend. They have that new Fahrenheit movie coming out, the documentary Fahrenheit 11/9, I think it's gonna be called.
Oh shoot, okay, I didn't even know, dude.
Yeah,
okay,
so it comes out Friday, so I'm gonna try to go see it this weekend. Maybe we could talk about that.
That'll work, dude. Yeah, man. So yeah. So, hey, guys, thanks for listening to us here on Chisme. Again, it's brought to you by Nacho Business. And again, I'm Raz.
And I'm Edgar.
Talk to y'all next week.
Adios.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.